Well, we're in our series titled God's Will, Your Life, and this is week number two. Okay, last week we talked about God's will for our life and how that our purpose for existence is to get closer to God. And we learned from Colossians chapter 3, in fact, I'll flip there right now, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Colossians chapter 3 is kind of our central passage for this whole series that we're going to be working through. We're going to be working through Colossians chapter 3, and this is what it says. It says, If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Your life is hidden with Christ in God. Your life is hidden, right? And we discovered our life is hidden. Like in a special box, this box represents our life, and inside is hidden, and we have to search for it. You can't just, it's not just going to like dawn on you someday. It's something that has to be sought after, something that has to be pursued like a buried treasure, okay? And so, our life is hidden in Christ, and so for us to find our lives, for us to find ourselves, as people say, we have to find Christ. And the first step to that is to receive Jesus Christ into your heart, into your life, to accept his gift of eternal life, that he died on the cross for our sins, and to accept that forgiveness for our sins, and to become what we call a Christian or a disciple of Jesus, someone who follows after Jesus, okay? That's the first step. But after that, after you have Jesus in your heart, then what? And I wanna talk a little bit about defining the when. In our youth team, we do this, and in all the teams, in any kind of leadership management situation where you're leading a team or you're leading a group of people, you have to define the when. You have to clarify and evaluate, clarify and evaluate, clarify and evaluate. Say if we went to a game, and we're a team, and we're going to play a game, and we show up, we have to know how to win the game, right? So say if we're playing softball, and we practice softball, and I'm like the fastest person on the team, and we're running these drills, you know, and I'm so fast. That doesn't really matter. What matters is, can I get a hit and get on base, and can we score, right? Because the goal of the game, the win, is to score more points than the other team, right? And so if all of us are just working on our speed, like we just need to run faster, and we never work on catching the ball and getting outs and actually hitting the ball and the other fundamentals of the game, then we wouldn't win. We wouldn't win. If we showed up to play soccer and all we had done was practice dodgeball, then, and we tried to use our dodgeball skills playing soccer, we'd get handball, you know, we'd get called on stuff, we're trying to throw them, we would not win, okay? We'd be trying to hit the other team. If we said, I just got to kick the ball into the face of the other team, and then they'll be out, you know, that's not the win. It's a different game. You have to know exactly what the win is. And so for our lives, what is the win? What is our personal win? What is your purpose for existing on the planet? Do you know when you wake up this morning what the win is? How do you know if you won today? How do you know if you were successful today? How do you know if you moved closer to God's purpose, to your destiny today? Because it's a slow thing that happens. It feels like it drags on forever and ever. But when we look back, it's like it happened yesterday, right? I'm sure Mom can remember potty training you guys like it was yesterday, right? Just pull that out. That's awesome, right? It's just like, it just flies by. But in the process of potty training, in the process of raising kids, it's like, oh my gosh, will they ever learn? Will they ever learn? It's a slow thing. So what is the win? For us, I want to clarify, we have to be with Christ. It says, when Christ, who is your life, appears, you will also appear with him in glory. We'll talk about that in a second. But we have died, our life is hidden in Christ with God. So Matthew chapter 22 verse 37 tells us what our win is. Matthew 22 verse 37, it says this, and he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. Love God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. This is a win. This is how we measure it. You have to clarify the win. Define the win is to love God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. How do you evaluate that? You evaluate that, do I love God more today than I did yesterday? Do I love God more with my heart, my soul, and my mind more today than I did yesterday? If I do, then I'm winning. That means I'm stepping one step closer to God's purpose for my life. Maybe it'll help if I draw it for you guys. The win for your life and mine is to love God more each day. So let me draw this. Hopefully this works. Let me load this up here. Okay. You connect to the room, loading. Okay, there we go, hi. So we'll just close that. Aha, it works, it's magic. Okay, so here's you, and excuse my drawing because I am like not a great drawer. So here's you and me, this is us. We exist as people in the universe. Ah, it's beautiful. Okay, and inside each and every one of us, God has put a passion. He has put this passion inside of us, and we're gonna make it this awesome color. Woo, woo. Inside each one of us, we have a passion that he has created, that he has put inside of us, and it's this thing that we were kind of created to do. And when that connects with God's purpose, then it's amazing. In fact, this is our purpose. Here's God over here. Let's just draw this. And we're gonna say, L-I-F-E, and this is God, and I'm not gonna have room to write this, C-H-R-I-S-T, excuse me for not capitalizing that, just let's just say it's capitalized. Can you guys read that? God, Christ, okay, so inside there, this is God, our life is hidden with Christ in God, so our goal, our purpose for existing is to do this, is to get here. Okay? And if we can connect our passion with God's purpose, then amazing things happen. Amazing things happen. That's when we're living. That's when we discover what life is all about. Okay? That's when you really discover. Because like Moses, when he came down off the mountain and his face was glowing, God's glory, as it says in Colossians chapter 3, it says, when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. And God's glory will shine through you. It will multiply. It will be exposed to the whole world, and they will see it. And they will see it in the way you do what you do. And it doesn't have to be preaching. It doesn't have to be leading worship. It doesn't have to be doing something in the church. It could be anything. You could be a car mechanic, and the way you fix cars, people will know that you walk with God. The way you mow lawns, people will know because you get all the equipment back out to get that one spot that you missed because you want to honor God in that. Or you make the extra phone call even on your own time, even though you're off the clock. But you wanted to cover that because that's what you're supposed to do and you want to do it right to honor God. And it doesn't matter what you're doing because your passion is connected with God's purpose, and that's life. That's where it's really awesome. So our goal, the win every day, is to move down this line a little bit closer to God. Okay? A little bit closer to God. I'm moving towards him. So every day, I want to be taking one step closer to being right in the center of who God is and knowing him and being connected to him deeply and personally and emotionally, intimately, all of this stuff, to love God. And that's what that line is. That's how much I love God. I'm moving towards loving God more and more each day. And I love God by letting God love me and learning what love is, because God is love. And so it's this awesome, like, mysterious thing that happens. As I move closer to God, I start to know his character more, and I start to be like him more, which allows me and unlocks potential for me to love God and to accomplish my purpose in life, which is to be directly in the center of who God is and connected with him. Right there in the center of God's will. And that's where the fruit of the Spirit is, because love, God is love. All of the great things in life are God's character. They come from him. He is the source of all those things. So I can't be those things unless I'm getting them from him. So I gotta get there. I gotta get there. I gotta move every day this direction down the line. That's the win. So yesterday, were you farther from God than you are today? Did you actually take a step yesterday closer to God? Well, how do I do that? I do that through spiritual disciplines. We talked about that: prayer, fasting, reading the scripture, spending time alone, getting to know him intimately. Did you do any of those things? Did you move closer to God? Did you do self-evaluation, look internally and say, do I love God more today than yesterday? What does that even mean? Did you think about that? It's hard. It's hard work. It's heavy lifting mentally. Sometimes it's heavy lifting physically to honor God with our bodies, to maybe go to the gym when I need to, or to not eat that thing because it's going to make me sluggish and then I'm not going to perform at work the way I should, you know? Emotionally, are you doing the work you need to move closer to God? We talked about we need to talk and dealing with personal conflict. Those things would get in the way. So tonight I want to talk to you about this one thing, though, that seems to derail us and block us from God's power and his work in our lives. And this is what it is. It's this guy. It's this ugly troll, and I'm going to try to draw this troll. It's probably going to end up looking like this teddy bear that's awesome or something. But it's not. It's not awesome. It's this awful, horrible troll with disco shoes. And he's hateful. He's spiteful. He's mean. Look at these teeth. And he's got one eye over on his ear. He's just rotten. You see that? That's pure evil. And this guy, this thing, will keep you from getting to God's purpose. And it happens all the time. More people do not reach God's purpose and their full potential by connecting their passion with God's purpose for their life because of the ugly troll. So what is the ugly troll? Colossians chapter 3. We're going to start in verse number 5. Colossians chapter 3, verse number 5. You could just leave that up on the screen if you want, Jace. Or I don't know if you're going to switch back to scripture or not, but Colossians 3, verse number 5. This is what it says. It says, put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. And the old preachers, you know, they always said, anytime the Bible says therefore, you need to know what the therefore is there for. You know what I mean? You got to know what the therefore is there for. I heard that growing up, and it's true. He's just talking about how do we find our potential? How do we find our purpose in life? And it's by knowing God and getting close to God and being in Christ and with God and moving closer to him by loving God more and more each day. So therefore, if you want your passion and your purpose to collide with and shine forth God's glory and have him in your life and do all that cool stuff, then therefore, you have to put to death what is earthly in you. Sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. Let's just stop there. And I want to talk to you guys about lead. I want to share with you guys a little bit about our friend on the periodic table called lead. Lead is poisonous. Are you guys familiar with the whole poisoning of the lead thing? They used to use lead in paint, and they would paint everything with lead. The problem, and lead is really cool because it's malleable. It's this thing, it's this easy to use weight. They put it inside jewelry. They put it inside all kinds of amazing things, and they would make all kinds of cool stuff out of lead. The problem is it's very poisonous and toxic. And what happens is that lead, your body needs all these other minerals for life. You need calcium, you need zinc, you need iron. These are all good things. And you take them in small quantities through your multivitamin or through eating your Cheerios or your Wheaties or whatever you eat. And you absorb these things and they're good for your body and they help your body to be nutritious. Lead hijacks that system of absorbing metals and it gets in. All you have to do is take in just a few particles of lead paint dust and it will make you sick. And it gets in the body, and the body thinks, well, it's one of these cool metals. And so then it starts absorbing it, and it gets all through your bloodstream, and it can mess you up. In fact, in little kids, it can make them deathly ill. There's all kinds of stories of people who had a piece of lead jewelry or something, and a child swallows it, a tiny little thing, and then they die. They get sick. They think it's the flu. They think it's nothing. They send them home, and then the kid dies. You get deathly ill. You throw up. You can get crazy. You can act weird. Like, you could get lethargic and sleepy. It does all kinds of messed up things to our body. So, Led, however, one of the worst thing that happens was back in 2003, there was a recall because the little Thomas the Train toys, who my kids love, they were made in China and they were painted with lead paint. So then you got your little kids and you guys can see, like, well, I don't know if you guys can see it or not, but there's paint like chipped off of this thing. Don't touch it because you'll get poisoned and die. I'm just kidding. I don't think this one actually has lead paint on it. But you could see, you know, it's like all messed up and buggered up because kids, they crash these things all the time. See the chipping? You'll take my word for it, Jim. I want to show these guys. See? Look at this. It's all kind of buggered up. The paint's all coming off. Here, take a look, Nathan. Inhale deeply. No, I'm just kidding. So the kids would play with this, and they put it in their mouth, and they would get this lead chips, and they would ingest them, and they would get sick, and many of them would die. And the only treatment is this horrible treatment, and it's called, let me look at it. I can't even remember what it's called. It's called Calitrain. Anyways, it's bad. Basically what it is you take these chemicals and it pulls and it bonds to the metal and pulls it out of your tissue. And it's excruciatingly painful. It's excruciatingly painful. They use it for detoxing, like all kinds of other stuff, like if you have a fungal disease or something like that. But it's very, very painful because the lead gets absorbed into your body. It gets into who you are. So I want you to imagine this. I want you to imagine you're a little kid. You're like Jake's age, you're like 3 years old, and this is your favorite toy in the whole world. You take this little Percy the Train with you everywhere you go because Percy's the coolest of trains because he's green, and green's your favorite color, and it's just awesome. And anywhere you go, Percy goes with you. And Percy likes to drive all over places. Percy drives at McDonald's. Percy drives in the van. Percy goes everywhere with you, and Percy is your buddy, and you even put him in your pocket, you know, and you have a special carrying thing for Percy. And Percy goes wherever you go. You go to kids' camp, Percy comes with you. Okay, you go to Nana's house to stay the night, Percy comes with you. You go to church, Percy comes with you. And we don't let you take him to class. You have to sit him on the little desk in there, but you shed a tear over that. And you come get him right after class, after Sunday school, and you come get Percy because Percy is your buddy. And then, mom and dad discover Percy's covered in lead paint. What's mom and dad gonna do? We're gonna take it from him. Right? We're going to take his security, his best friend in the whole universe, his favorite toy, away from him. And what's the little kid going to do? He's going to cry. What would you do? You would cry. You would freak out. You would throw a fit. Because this is your favorite. This is your favorite. This is your life. This is what you love. This is all you know. But the problem is Percy is poisonous. And Percy will poison you, and Percy will kill you. And you'll get sick. And if mom and dad really love you, they're not going to let you have this poison, even though you love this toy. And it doesn't matter how much I would try to explain it to my little 3-year-old son. I could tell him, but Percy will make you sick. No, he won't. We've had Percy for a long time. We've been friends for a long time. Percy wouldn't do that. Percy loves me. Why would Percy make me sick? He won't make me sick. How could a train make me sick? We could wash him, Mommy. Maybe if we wash him, then he won't have germs on him, and then he won't have to make me sick. Why can't I have Percy? Why would you take Percy away from me? And this is the thing. This is what God is trying to explain to us in Colossians chapter 3. He says, put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you, because it's poisonous. Put to death the things that are earthly in you, the poisonous things that are in you, that get inside of you, that bond to your cells and your tissue and just consume you and poison you. Put those things to death. You have to get rid of those things. And here's a list of them: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. How do you think mom and dad would feel towards the manufacturers of this poisonous Percy? How do you think mom and dad would feel? You think we would be happy? You think we would be neutral? Or do you think we would be steaming mad that somebody would make a toy that could poison my child and even kill him? Mom and dad would be fuming mad. They would, and they would sue, and people have, and they would win. Because how dare you give a little child poison? How could you do that? And that's what it says. The wrath of God is coming. The wrath of God is coming against the poison in this world, against the green troll of this world, because it's poisoning his children. It's poisoning his kids. It's making us sick. But when we think of giving up these things that have bonded to who we are, and we think our life is in them, in fact, it goes on. It says, in these two, in verse 7, in these two, you once walked when you were living in them. You lived with the poison. You lived with the sin. It was part of who you were. It was just what you did. It was just part of your nature to speak that way. It was part of your nature to look at your neighbor's thing and say, I want one of those. It's part of your nature just to have lust come into your life, to be consumed by ambition. I want that. I'm going to go get that. These were things that are part of our nature. In fact, it's so easy for us to confuse our God-given passion with the world's poison that many people are completely derailed and never reach God's purpose. Can you put the whiteboard back up, Jace? It's so easy for us to confuse the red dot inside of us, the passion that God has built into each and every one of us, the way he created us, to confuse that with the world's poison, that we sometimes never reach God's purpose for our life because we get derailed. Because we start to take it in. And before we knew Christ, we were already living in lead. We were living consumed by all kinds of poisonous behaviors and actions and things that we did. And it bonded to us so that we can't really distinguish. Is this who I am? I keep having this desire to do this thing that I know is not, that I know is against God. I know it's not a step closer to God for me to lust. I know it's not a step closer to God for me to cheat at work so I can get ahead. I know it's not a step closer to God for me to sleep with my boyfriend, but I want to do it. So is that me? Is that sinful desire? Is that me? Is that who I am? And if that's who I am, how do I know that I'm in Christ? How do I know that God loves me? How do I know that I love God? I must not love God because this stuff, these desires are there. And we could confuse the poison that is inside of us with the passion that God has given us. And the only way to deal with it is a very painful treatment. It is. It's a painful treatment. We call it sanctification, this process of moving closer to God. And the only way to deal with it is through the spiritual disciplines that every day we connect with God, through scripture reading, through prayer, through fasting, and to connect with other people. Most of the time, we're the last people on the planet to know our biggest flaws and weaknesses. We're the last ones to realize it. We got a pride issue. If I go into Pastor Joe's office and I sit down and say, hey man, I gotta talk to you about something. I think I have a real problem with procrastination. Pastor Joe's gonna be like, no, really? Oh, where'd you figure that out? I'm the last one to know, right? Some people, if they came to you and be like, do you think I have a problem with pride? You'd be like, whoa, dude. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Like, you're the last person on the planet to know this. And a lot of times we are. We really struggle to make good evaluation of ourselves. So we clarify the when. What is the when? To step closer to God every day. And then you have to evaluate, am I stepping closer to God? Am I getting the poison out? If you don't remember anything else tonight, remember this. Don't sacrifice God's purpose for poison. Don't sacrifice God's purpose for poison. If I say it another way, always choose purpose over poison. Always choose purpose over poison. And how do we do that? One of the ways we do that is through connecting with each other and building accountability in small groups. I have a small group that meets on Wednesday. And we've been meeting now for, 9 weeks? 9, 10 weeks? And we're building a bond. We're building a relationship together, and we hold each other accountable. I could tell my small group, hey, guys, I think I'm dealing with this problem, and some of them who know me well are like, you think? And they can hold me accountable. Hey, did you work on that this week? Did you work on that? What would working on that look like? What's God calling you to do in that area? How do you move a step closer? And we can start to become comfortable enough to go through the painful, painful process of separating out the poison from our passion, from who we are. The passage goes on and it says this. It says, but now you must put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie one to another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian and Scythian, slave free, but Christ is all and in all. Always choose purpose over poison. Always choose purpose over poison. I want you guys to go away tonight thinking of the sin and the things that you struggle with in your life as the poisonous green troll that's keeping you from your purpose. All of us, I believe that everyone here wants to accomplish God's purpose for their life. That you want to figure out the passion that God has put into you and the purpose that God has, and to connect those things together so that you can have God's power shine through you and you can accomplish great things to change the world, to change your community, whether it's leading your home, whether it's in your job, and where, no matter what you do, you want that to happen. You want that chemistry to happen where God takes your passion that he's put in you and you connect with God's purpose and something happens. That will all be stopped if you don't get the poison out. If you don't get the poison out, leadership rises and falls on integrity. Integrity is doing the right thing when no one's watching and no one would find out. And if we're not people of integrity, then we'll never accomplish God's purpose for our life. We won't. We won't. We won't be courageous enough to take the steps we need to take because we'll know about the poison inside of us. It'll make us sickly. It'll make us weak. We won't confront injustice because the thing that's inside of me will say, well, what right do you have to talk about that? We won't confront the things that are happening in our community that we need to. We won't stand up. We won't speak because we won't have the internal fortitude, the center, the power of God's purpose behind us, because we will be poisoned and incapacitated. And I believe that's what happens to the church. That's what happens to Christians every day. Where we don't walk in God's power, we walk in some kind of halfway, wannabe, like half-religious way of not accomplishing powerful things for God. because we're poisoned and we're sick. And I don't quite feel up to it because these things are still in me. So we have to get them out. So tonight, I want to encourage you, if you want to accomplish God's purpose, if you want to be in the center of God's will, if you want your passion and God's purpose to collide and make beautiful art, you've got to get rid of the poison. Just like a parent would freak out, I would not hesitate one second to snatch this away from my child to save his life. That's how we have to be with the sin, the poison that we struggle with. It's not your friend. Let's pray. Dear God, I thank you for your word. God, give us boldness. Give us the courage. Give us faith to trust you. That even though we're little kids, we're babes in your eyes. We're your little children, Lord. But when you want to take something from us, when you want to reach into our heart and our life and say, that is not healthy, that's dangerous, that's going to make you sick, that we would not hold on to it, we would gladly let go. And though it hurts, though it agonizes us, though it feels like a part of us is being torn away, we would trust that you have our best interests in mind. Lord, help us to win. Help us to move close to you. Help us to always, always choose purpose over passion. God, let us choose purpose over passion and purpose over poison. Let us follow you, God, in everything we do. In Jesus' name, amen.